Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the prophetic experience, where the word of the Lord comes alive, with nationally known prophet Laron Matthews. Prophet Matthews has prophesied to Kurt Franklin, Ty Trabert, Bishop Rance Allen, many world leaders, just to name a few, and he welcomes the international world and families to his ministry. He recognized the pains, hurts, disappointment, and needs of the people through love, faith, prayer, and communication. God has anointed Prophet Matthews to be able to meet the challenges of a generation and people searching for an authentic message that reaches a pressure-filled life with the strength of God's love for them. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the service. God bless you.
Recording started.
Prophet Laron Matthews Ministries welcomes you to the Friday Morning Word with Evangelist Carlina Wilkes of Indianapolis, Indiana. It is our prayer that together we can submit to His Word, submit to His call, and submit to His commission in order to stay on the path Jesus has paid for us. The first hour of the program is dedicated to the youth, so we welcome all youth and youth leaders. God bless you. Sit back and relax and enjoy the Friday Morning Word broadcast with Evangelist Carlina Wilkes.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Hallelujah. Well, blessed be the name of the Lord, for this is, hallelujah, the first Friday of 2022. Oh, how excited I am, and I pray that you're excited as well. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Pastor Aaron, good morning, sir. Amen. Administrator Bryant, to the host of God's people everywhere, my God. I thank and praise God, hallelujah, that He has kept us thus far, and He's continuing to be a keeper. Hallelujah. The songwriter used to say, He's a keeper. Yes, He is. Hallelujah. And I thank Him for being the keeper. I thank Him for being a loving God. I thank Him for being our protector, our soon coming King. I thank Him, thank Him, thank Him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, we're going to start. We're going to kick this off, amen, in just a few moments. And Pastor Aaron is going to come. Hallelujah, and leave His words of encouragement. Amen. And so we're going to, those youth that have a desire to ask a question or comment, you can text 334-440-6152. If you're on the blog side, you'll be able to put it in the chat room, and the administrator will get that to us. But we're going to turn it over and allow Mother Sydney, amen, to come on and pray us in. And then, Mother, you there? So I know she wasn't feeling well the other day. Glory to God. All right. So I'm going to go ahead and pray. And then Pastor, we're going to come with a commercial and administrator give us announcements, and then Pastor Aaron, it's going to be in your hands. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank and praise your name, oh God. We certainly honor you, Lord. Hallelujah. Most high. We thank you right now in the name of Jesus that we have arisen this morning, Lord, excited about, hallelujah, you. Oh God, hallelujah, you on the inside of us. You on the hallelujah being the Almighty God. You, Lord God, hallelujah, the author and the finisher of our faith. We thank and praise your name, Lord God. Hallelujah, Lord, that you're touching your people everywhere. Most of all, Lord God, we thank you right now in the name of Jesus for the youth that is excited, oh God, about serving you, wanting to know your word. We thank and praise your name, oh God. Hallelujah, Lord, that those that call from far and near, wherever they are, Lord Jesus, that you, oh God, will endow them with the wisdom and the knowledge that they desire to have, oh God, concerning your word. We thank and praise your name, oh God. Hallelujah, Lord, that many, oh God, hallelujah, Lord, may not be able to come into the four wall kind congregation, but they're able to assemble together, Lord God, on this line, this platform, oh God, and begin to receive a word from the Lord. I ask right now in the mighty name of Jesus that you continue, oh God, to move upon our visionary, Lord, administrator, oh God, and a host of God's people everywhere. Lord God, hallelujah, Lord, let your anointing have its way, free course, oh God. We thank and praise your name. Oh, God, hallelujah. Hey, God, hallelujah, that you're moving, oh, God. Breathe a fresh anointing, oh, God, this morning. Oh, God, hallelujah, Lord. Somebody might have a bow down here. Somebody might be bereaved this morning, oh, God. But, oh, God, hallelujah, let your love begin to saturate the atmosphere, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. You have never lost a case, oh, God. And we thank you right now in the name of Jesus. Father, hallelujah, Lord. Help us, oh God, to continue to think of those things that are lovely, those things that are pure, oh God. Lord God, hallelujah, Lord. Many of the afflictions of the righteous, oh God, but you, your word said that you would deliver us out of them all. And we thank you right now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Then nothing catches you by surprise, oh God. You already have the answer, oh God. It's left up to us to seek you, oh God. Glory, hallelujah, Lord. It is up to us to seek you right early, oh God. Hallelujah, Lord, concerning the answer to the matters, oh God. I thank you right now in the name of Jesus, because victory is ours, oh God. Hallelujah. Victory belongs to us, oh God. Ooh, glory, hallelujah. Let your blood prevail, even the moko, no, kosa, my name, kosa. Let your blood prevail, oh God, hallelujah, Lord. I thank you, Lord God, hallelujah, Lord. It is in you we move, we breathe, and we have our being. And God, I thank you, I thank you, I thank you, I thank you, hallelujah, glory, hallelujah, Lord. That we would not be the same, oh God. Once we haven't been endowed and encountered with your presence, oh God, we thank and we praise your name, oh God. Hallelujah, Lord, for all the things that is going to be about to transpire this morning. Oh God, we just glorify your name. Lord God, let the words of our mouth, the meditation of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight. Oh Lord, our strength, yes, Lord God, you are our strength and our redeemer, our soon coming king, and we give you glory, honor, and praise in the matchless, wonderful name of Jesus, hallelujah, glory be to God, we pray. Amen and amen. Administrator.
Prophet LaRon Matthews Ministries welcomes you to the Friday Morning Word with Evangelist Carlina Wilkes of Indianapolis, Indiana. It is our prayer that together we can submit to His Word, submit to His call, and submit to His commission in order to stay on the path Jesus has paved for us. The first hour of the program is dedicated to the youth, so we welcome all youth and youth leaders. God bless you. Sit back and relax and enjoy the Friday Morning Word broadcast with Evangelist Carlina Wilkes. Join Prophet LaRon Matthews every Sunday morning at 11:30 a.m. and on Tuesday night at 7:30 p.m. for Facebook Live. Also, you can join Prophet throughout the week with Drive By with the Prophet for a powerful prophetic word from the Lord. You can go to LaRon Matthews on Facebook and LaRon Matthews Ministries and Restoration Foundation Prophetic International Inc. on Facebook Live. We look forward to seeing you on Facebook Live with Dr. Prophet LaRon Matthews. Times are subject to change depending upon the availability of Dr. Prophet LaRon Matthews.
The new book is coming soon. The latest from Dr. Prophet LaRon Matthews. The Encounter with Wisdom, The Secret of Her.
The Encounter with Wisdom, The Secret of Her.
The new book is coming soon. Written by Dr. LaRon Matthews, PhD.
Get ready to have your spirit lifted and your soul rejuvenated.
The Encounter with Wisdom, The Secret of Her. By Dr. LaRon Matthews, PhD. Stay tuned for the book release date and information on how to purchase your copy. Coming soon.
Coming soon.
Good morning, Dr. Wilkes. Good morning, Pastor Myers. And good morning to everyone that's listening in on the line on this morning. Please, if you will, keep the following dates in mind. You adopted the third Sunday and every month as Love Sunday for Dr. Matthews. And if you desire to bless the man of God, you can do so by visiting the ministry website at WeRestoredLetterU.org, or you can cash app at MoneySign or FPIM, or you can mail at WeRestoredLetterU@Yahoo.com. February the 19th through the 22nd, Dr. Matthews is on his way to Hampton, Virginia, to Restoration and Truth Ministries. They're getting ready for the What's Love Empowerment Conference. It's hosted by our very own Apostle Maurice Simmons and Prophetess Eugenie Simmons. That's February 19th through the 22nd, March the 25th through the 27th. Please join Restoration Foundation Prophetic International Ministries for their church celebration and honoring Dr. Laron Matthews. Again, those dates are March 25th through March 27th. That's at 231 East 146th Street in Harvard, Illinois. For more information, you can call 877-912-2027, or you can call the local ministry at 708-825-1988. May 15th, Baltimore, Maryland, Dr. Matthews is headed your way. May 28th through the 29th, you can join Dr. Matthews in Marion, South Carolina at the Ark Family Fellowship Church, where Pastor Aaron Myers is the pastor, and more information will be forthcoming on that as well. If you desire for Dr. Matthews to be the guest speaker at your conference, your prophetic summit, your revival, he's also a licensed Christian counselor, we'll be more than happy to coordinate that for you. Please just give us a call at 877-912-2027, or you can email us at LaronMatthewsMinistries@gmail.com. God bless you, Dr. Brooks, and Pastor Myers.
All right, Administrator, thank you so very much. Do we have any questions this morning?
There is a question on the table this morning, and it's in reference to a scripture as well. The question is, what happens when the light of the church goes out? And the scripture is in reference to Revelations 2 and 5.
Okay.
All right. And the scripture is, remember therefore from where you have fallen, repent and do the works you did at first. If not, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent.
Okay, and that is good because I did actually there is on my page, my Sunday school page, when I was doing Revelation chapter number 2, that has been posted on my private page because I teach Sunday school online, and I'm going to my notes. So I'm just ready to go right there because I've already talked about this. Glory to God. I broke down a lesson on each one of the churches, and this was the church of Ephesus. And where did they talking about this one particular one is the reason why that they were in so much trouble, because this particular church, they were warned by Paul during his 3 years of tenure when he was there to beware of the idol and other practices that they were doing. And this particular church there, they had Greek blended in with Egyptians. They were Hellenism. And they were persons, they had an Indian influences that was there. And so during this time frame, they had a great influence from Alexander, the period of time. And if you're not familiar with the 400 silent years, during that time frame, a lot of the influences that was going on, the Greek culture, between the Old Testament and the New Testament, there was a lot of Greek culture being introduced by Alexander. And he wanted the language pretty much to be the same language, but he wanted the science of art and the science of philosophy, and all of this was to be the great influence. So if you see and you know this, then this is what is not the light of God. This is the life about all about pleasing the flesh and pleasing this. So when you look at this, it's talking about that from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first work. For else I will come to thee quickly, and I will remove thy candlestick out of the lake. And so here, when you see this, this was a serious thing. When he's talking about, and actually, if you read in your Bible, the red part is Jesus actually talking to this Hades, the letter to God, to take to the church. And he said he was going to remove the candlestick. The church would cease to be an effective church. Because if you look at the candlesticks was representing the seven branches of the candlesticks that was in the temple. It was the priest's job to make sure that the candlestick does not go out. It was the priest's job to make sure that in the temple that it was still light and that they were there. So in this warning that Jesus had given them, he was saying that their light should not go out because he is that light. He's the center light. And what was happening is they was not looking at him being the center of what they were doing because they were starting dibbling and dabbling in idol worship. Their light was becoming dim. Now, how does this apply to us today? So glad you asked. It applies to us today because many of the people, some of the people, they are allowing to dibble and dabble in the world. They're trying to mix the cultures of science and all this other stuff of the world, and they're trying to mix it with the wisdom of God. That is not going to work. You're not going to think it's get things from the world and try to bring it into the church and make it fit. Because this is where the candlestick is going to be removed. In other words, he's going to remove his anointing from those vessels that is doing this. Those that decided that, you know, hey, I can live in the world, I can do what the world do, and I still can say I'm saved. That's not going to work. So this is what this means for this particular. And this was the loveless church. This was the very first church that he talked to. And they were considered as loveless. So I pray that what I have given you just a little bit of touch at what was going on, what was going on there. But he wanted them to repent. He wanted them not to have their light out. And this is what the word is constantly coming to us. Even in our present day time, the word is constantly coming to us so that our light will not go out, giving us an opportunity to repent, do it over. That's why it's so necessary to feel that, okay, I don't arrive. No, we have never arrived. We should always have a spirit of repentance upon us and within us that we can stay, keep ourselves clean. There's a song that, hallelujah, when I used to teach the younger people, give me oil in my lamp, keep it burning. Give me oil in my lamp, I pray. Give me oil in my lamp. Keep it burning. Keep it burning to the break of day. And so, therefore, we have to have that oil of God's anointing in our lives. Hallelujah. To be able to shine bright in dark places. But if we are dibbling and dabbling, that is not going to work. God is not going to be pleased, and he will reject such illumination. Okay? And that is the answer I have for that individual.
Amen. And then there's an apostle that came back with a statement. He said, great work, woman of God, Dr. Wilkes. And when the world becomes the influence of the church instead of being influenced by the church, we are no longer in position to impact, guide, or direct society into the ways of God. We basically become useless, which means if we don't change courses fast, our candlesticks, lampstand is about to be removed. Thank you, woman of God. I appreciate this teaching.
Amen. And that is so true. And like I said, it was the first church that he warned. And when he goes on, he talks to each one of the churches. I think that in this little season, everybody want to hone in on Laodicean church, that's the age that we're in. But I beg the difference. Because as I studied these seven churches, and I really was digging, and I was finding out some stuff, I was like, whoa, about the land, what was going on in that age, the era, why was, even though that they were all in close proximity, and so they may be 50, 60 miles from each other, some of the, how did they start it, and different things like this. But these particular churches that Paul had been visiting, and Paul had went and talked to and started and left people behind, it is so easy to let you know that a lot of times that men and women of God, they come, and I don't, Lord, hallelujah, come on, say it, I'm not, we invite people to come for revivals, or we have our own committed revival. And soon as the man or woman of God leaves, the people go back to the same thing. It's, you know, was we being revived for the visitor? Or was we being revived because of we want a change? And God has been dealing with me about this, about I was thinking that this clause had fell in my mind earlier this week. The new me. The new me. Is it going to be a new me today? Not just this year. Am I going to be a new me today? Oh, tomorrow, yesterday is gone. Today is here. Tomorrow's not promised. So right here today, is there going to be a new me? Am I going to have that same attitude that I had an hour ago? Am I going to have the same words? You know, I'm going to be speaking the same thing. Am I going to act the same way? We need a new me every single day. And this is how we keep our lamps trimmed and burning. Because remember, no man know the day or the hour that the Son of Man is going to appear. And when he comes, some might go by the grave, somebody the catch of the way in the sky, but whatever way that he comes, will he find us worthy to say, come in. And take a rest. That's why we need to have a new me. All right. Is there any other questions for us on this morning? Hallelujah. Before Aaron, Professor Aaron's take off like a rocket ship.
All lines are clear, Dr. Wilkes.
All right. All right, Pastor Aaron Myers. Good morning, 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 morning. Come on through.
Amen. great morning. Dr. Woods, I was listening to you speak, and the last couple of things you just said was basically a few things I was going to touch on before I get to the main subject. But I'm going to go ahead and share this, too, about the you were talking about the church. And I can share this in particular due to personal experiences, you know, because, you know, me growing up in ministry and growing up in, you know, constantly, you know, our mother had us in church, if not at home or school. So she made sure we wasn't in the street or, you know, any other places. But me and my siblings, we've gained experience. So from, you know, looking at the church, you know, in the state that the church is in now, and I'm glad that you mentioned that this particular church that I was talking about was a quote-unquote a loveless church. And, you know, I think that's a state that a lot of churches are in now. Not every church, but I will recall over the years that when people would, you know, either join our ministry or they were just coming by to visit, you know, you got an invite, you would have, like, family, friends day and stuff like that. And we would, you know, have certain events going on in the community, and people would, you know, stop by and visit our ministry, whatever the case may have been. And the testimony that we would receive back from those people was that they felt the love. They felt, quote-unquote, the love. So that's what's missing, you know, in a lot of places. And then when I heard you read the scripture, you were talking about the light being removed, you know, so I can agree that, and, you know, when I think about it, you know, and I consider all things, that light is, a lot of times, is your life. If you can't see where you're going, you can wander off the edge. You can be any place. And I was sharing on our page a couple of weeks ago about this place called uncertainty, you know, meaning that if you're not aware of where you're at and what state you're in, that's a dangerous place. You know, most people, you know, or I would believe that, you know, we as people, as humans, we would want to catch our bearings, at least have an understanding, you know, to self-evaluate. But when you fall into a place of uncertainty, you don't know where you're headed. So with that light being gone, and I'm glad that you mentioned even that a church has a revival, the guest speaker comes, and, you know, he turns it all up, and everybody's excited. But as soon as that guest speaker leaves, you know, it's how many days or Sundays later, it's back to the same routine. So it's the life. You know, we have visited churches, and we've seen some, and I don't want to use this word too often, but we've been to some dead places, you know, where the church had seemed spiritually dead. The drummer, even down to the musicians, everybody is seeming to be drained of life. And it's just, even if they got huge numbers, which, you know, we're a ministry, we're not moved by numbers because we know those can always change. But we've seen people, you know, look as if the life is drained out of them. And even if the musicians are playing well and it seems to be turned up, you know, it's when it's gold, everything dies down and goes back to normal routine, nothing has changed. There has been no deliverance. They really, again, you can sense that the light in that church is gone, you know. And so, people.
Aaron, that's a great problem right there. How in the world? How in the world? God's spirit is alive.
Right.
And so that has to be an infectious disease. What
right.
I find, say, there must be an infectious disease in that particular, why you say that? There's an aching. Something done died, something in that congregation that causes an infectious disease where there's, it's all dead and there's no liveliness is going on. And, you know, from the pulpit to the back door, That's a problem right there.
Amen. Amen. Because, me and my assistant pastor, we both started as, officially, we both had started as ushers. So, and one thing I can say about my assistant pastor was that with her being an usher, honestly, she made being an usher enjoyable for me. So you had to be mindful of who you're even partnering with. I remember, I believe that was the word for the last couple of weeks. I believe Prophet was also sharing, you have to be mindful of who you're partnering with. So it's amazing that me and my assistant pastor, we were partnering together as ushers, but now we are partnering together as pastor and co-pastor. So, but I can share that you have to be mindful of who you're partnering with. Even in ministry, you know, be careful what you join. Of course, you know, people who are new to the church, they're in a place of desperation, you know, they say, okay, I just need to go to a church. You know, it's the same manner of which people, when we get sick, we get ill, we just, you know, we feeling bad, we go to the nearest hospital. But sometimes going to the nearest thing, the thing that seems convenient, is also a dangerous thing to do as well. You know, it's one thing to do something out of ignorance, but then when you begin to see the routine, and I'm a person, I eventually get a little frustrated when I start seeing things get drab. And it's not that I need always and every day sometimes some sense of excitement, but if I don't sense any elevation, if I don't see that I'm growing in a certain place, it really does bother me. And, you know, even down to a couple of days ago, even on the last week, you know, and that's why I got the word I'm going to share on this morning as well. I'm going to go ahead and say it's Matthew 6:25-34. And it's talking about seeking first the kingdom. So, you know, a lot of us are in a place, even in a church or even in our homes and our job, we're in a place of frustration. We feel stifled. You know, we feel a little choked out. And we're looking for something. And the something that we're looking for, the answer is simple. You know, seek first the kingdom. But what we're doing, and I believe what's killing a lot of us, and I'm being mindful of how I'm saying that too, as a church, is that we're trying to seek validation from our pastor. We're seeking validation from Mother, you know, I'm going to say Mother Mary. I mean, no offense to the Mother Mary, but we're seeking validation from Deacon so-and-so, Reverend so-and-so, Bishop so-and-so, Prophet, Apostle, Evangelist. We're looking for the people for the answers. Okay. And, you know, not to cut these people off because, you know, you can see the God in them, but they're not God. You know what I'm saying? So I don't want even someone seeking me for validation or seeking me always for an answer when the Word of God says seek first the kingdom. You know, I was laying, you know, up one night, and I felt myself getting back to a place of frustration. And I remember I was in this place between 2016 and 2017, some years ago. And I was, 20, 21, something like that. And I felt myself getting frustrated, you know, and I was getting very, very frustrated. And I didn't have any answers. And I felt myself slipping back into that place, you know. And you can feel, the grace, you know, like you said, the anointing and the grace and stuff. It feels like it's slipping off you. And, you know, I shared with my oldest brother. I said, you know what, this place and God in which I'm at right now, I said, if I was in this place, a couple of years ago, I said, that would have been fine. But I said, where I'm at right now, I said, I feel as if the grace is coming off me. So I felt my relationship with God itself was dimming. And I was, you know, I was getting frustrated because I was like, okay, I need some answers for this. I need some answers for that. I know God is revealing stuff because God is showing me stuff. And God, one thing, God is not going to tell you something, and it's not going to come to pass. So, you know, only we can stifle ourselves in that manner. But I was getting ready to slip off to sleep, and I try to be mindful about going to sleep feeling frustrated. But God has a way of always snatching you back, or I won't say snatching, but bring you back to a place of peace. And right before I dozed off, the word was as simple as that: seek first the kingdom. because that's the main priority. I honestly believe what will save a lot of churches, what will save a lot of us as people, you know, is if we truly seek first the kingdom. And I'm sharing Matthew 6:25-34, because, and I'm just going to paraphrase right now, but it, you know, Jesus was explaining to them that the trees don't have to worry about dressing themselves, that the leaves are already on them. And even in this season, when they shed, they come back. The blade of grass, you know, Jesus even talked about the blade of grass, how the flowers, they bloom, they clothe themselves. The birds of the air don't have to worry about where to perch, because there's always a place for them. So there's always a place for you. But keep in mind that that place for you starts with God. You know, I go through this, I don't want to say phase, because I believe everybody has a point. You know, no matter how many times they go to God and they're laying awake at night or some part of their day, they're just giving their concerns and worries to God. And, you know, the Word of God tells us not to worry. But even
not
for
to
those
worry.
Who are. Yes, amen.
For us to not to worry.
Mm-hmm. Amen. And so even the question on this morning about the light leaving the church, about the dead places, you know, I'm going to say that I truly thank God for life. Because Dr. something else you said this morning, too, you were doing an introduction. And it really, I go through this time and ever so often where I remind myself I realize that I woke up another day. I'm physically alive. That spiritually, I still have a chance with God daily. So I woke up with the realization that I'm alive, I'm well, and most and foremost, I'm accounted for. Again, a lot of us, excuse me, that's the bus going by. a lot of us can't, you know, even guarantee where we're at. You know, so it's one thing to be alive and well, but are you accounted for? You know, and that realization came to me once again this morning. I was sitting up and, getting dressed and whatnot, and I was listening as you were speaking, and I said, you know what? I said that's a on-time word from Dr. Wilkes, you know, because in all things considered, I said to myself, I'm truly alive. When I look at my natural health and even down to spiritually, I said, you know, I'm well. I said, you know, of course we all can be better. I can you know, be better, but I'm alive, I'm well, and I'm accounted for. So, you know, when you're in a place, a dead place, and, you know, I mentioned earlier a place of uncertainty, you got to consider, are you even accounted for? Because when you're uncertain, you can't account for nothing. You don't know where you are, you know, and the sad thing is a lot of us as people, just as people as a whole, not individuals, as people, we look at and we see where others are at. You know, we look at our deacons and we look at our prophets and our evangelists, and we look at all these people with these different names and titles and different gifts, spiritual gifts. Even, you know, the musicians, we look at all these people and we want to account for them, but you have to even account for yourself. You know, you have to give an account, you know, accountability. So accountability still works in the play of all retrospect. You know, I wouldn't just recklessly tell a person, oh, if you're dissatisfied with your church, just leave. Sometimes you're dissatisfied with yourself. And that's where I was at. You know, I was really, when I said I was frustrated, it wasn't even about what I have or didn't have. I was frustrated that the fact that I was allowing my mindset to even get closer to that feeling as if, okay, I was unqualified or I was not enough. So a lot of us are, and we consider all things. You realize, okay, who is it I'm really frustrated with? The fact of the matter is you're frustrated with yourself. And that's why I'm coming from a place that I was, all my concerns and worries, okay, how do I go about doing this? And the Word of God tells us that if we seek first the kingdom, basically if we make God, seeking God, our priority, then everything else will take care of itself. Amen. So I'm gonna turn it back over to Dr. Wilkes. So if anybody was any questions or comments or concerns, but I did want to share that. You know, I didn't have a whole lot to share, but I do thank God for Dr. Wilkes because a lot of things you said on this morning really summed up partially where I was going to be coming from this morning. Amen.
Aaron, you. I'm thinking as you were talking about the worry, and I'm also thinking that in this worry, we might not. Sometimes I think we need to record ourselves when we talk, and when we speak, especially when we speak into others at times. We may not think that nothing about it. Can we hear what the other person is hearing? Because sometimes when we say some things, we don't hear ourselves. Now, listen to me good. We don't hear ourselves. We know that because our mindset is on expressing what we want to say. But if we go back and we hear what we done said, they'd be like, oh, now I see why that person was talking to me, this, that, and other. In this passage of scripture that you're talking about in Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 34, this is a teaching that Jesus was doing about worry. You know, worrying will not add one cubit to our stature. I'm listening in and I see also that if we continue to go back and forth with this, tossing and turning the premeditated thoughts, it tells us in the word, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. When you allow worry to come and begin to set in and fear begins to grip hold. Pastor Simmons said something on Thursday. I was like, woo, man of God. He said people worry about everything else. He said they worry about all of the situations that's going on in the world, worry about money, but they not worry about sin. And I said, man of God, woo, you said a word. So Jesus is teaching seventeen reasons here in this passage of scripture. Seven reasons not to worry. In the verse number 25, he said, the thing is that, therefore I say to you, take no thought for your life, what you should eat or what you should drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is it not the life more than meat and the body more than raiment? So the point number one, the same God who created life in you can be trusted with the details of your life. That's number one. He's telling us, if I created the life, don't you think I could take care of the life? Let that soak in. 26. Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much more better than they? The second point is, worrying about the future hampers your effects for today. Worrying about the future hampers your effect for today. Because we can't, our minds are so far going to the left and to the right that we hinder, most of the time, we hinder the move of God. When I was a church announcer when I was living in South Bend, I used to tell the saints, if you're going to worry, don't pray. If you're going to pray, don't worry. Because the minute you start worrying, that cancels out your prayer. It's not that I trust God. Do we really trust God? Why are we worried about something when we say he has all power? Why do we be trying to take it back and say, well, I'm just trying to figure out this, and we telling on ourselves. We tell on ourselves. If we listen to ourselves, half of the time the answer is already told. When we open our mouths, the Bible said whatever's in our heart, our mouth is going to speak. So if fear, if worry is in our heart, it's going to come out. It's going to come out in our actions. It's going to be everything, whatever is in us, whatever is the strong man. If the spiritual man is being strong, then you're going to hear nothing but God, 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 God. If the spiritual man is weak, then we're going to hear the devil this and the devil that and the enemy this and the enemy that. Well, it seems like you were more worried about what the enemy is doing than what God can do. I'm just saying. All right. Point number three, verse 27. Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit to his stature? Worrying is more harmful than helpful. Worrying is more harmful than helpful. No, like I said, it gives you premeditated thoughts. Your mind be racist. Can't get no peace. Can't get no sleep. You up and down, toss and turn, the bed be swimming. You be having all kind of crazy dreams and so forth and so on. Because why? That's why even now in my prayers, I started praying even for the subconscious mind. Because even in the subconscious mind, things be going on. And we don't even pray that. Why? The enemy be trying to plant stuff there. And so, therefore, we got to know an enemy well known is an enemy well defeated. So you have to know that he's always trying to be work in the background. He's a scuba diver. He always want to come up with something that ain't got no business to do with what's going on right now. So, therefore, we have to know this. Verses 28 through 30. And why take the thought of for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not. Neither do they spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into an oven, shall he not much more clothe you? O ye of little faith? Jesus is asking them a question. If I can make the grass. So point number four is God does not ignore those who depend on him. He don't ignore. 31 and 32. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed. When I was growing up, this very scripture, believe it or not, when I was a child, probably about 8 or 9 years old, when I first heard this very passage of scripture, it stuck to my inner man like nothing else before. When the Sunday school teacher read this, it says what you should think, or what I carried that torch, even though I didn't even know what it fully meant. I always thought about it when Jesus said he sent his disciples two by two. He told them don't even take a purse or a scrip, but he will supply whatever they need. To me, that let me know that okay, he gonna take care of this. When I get there, it's gonna be done. So, the next point number five, worry shows a lack of faith and understanding of God. This is what worry does. It shows a lack of faith and a lack of understanding about your God. Isaiah 35:8. I often go back to that scripture. And this highway shall be called Highway of Holiness. He said, though a wayfaring man or a fool cannot err, the way is so plain. He said, a wayfaring man or a fool cannot err. So if this highway is such a way that you cannot err, then that means that if we err, the problem is not God. The problem is us. Then verse 33 says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And this is where you were talking about, Pastor Meyer. These are real challenges God wants us to pursue. And worrying keeps us from them. If we have our challenges and we taking it to Susie, sorry, Susie. Take it to Bubba, sorry, Bubba. Taking it over to Aunt, taking it over to Frog, taking it over to, you know, Diamond and all those other folks. We taking our problems to them instead of seeking God first. Now, let me say something. I know that sometimes that God will lead us. Now, I'm going to make this real plain as the nose on our faces. There is times that God will lead us to godly counsel. But we know that God is leading us to godly counsel because first we sought him first. And when we seek him first, then he'll say, go over here and talk to such and such and such and such. And God has already prepared that individual to give you what you need. But you sought God first. Prime example. There was a couple that I knew from when I was in Germany. And the wife had not came to this particular city where we were at. We knew each other in Germany. Then we had got transferred to the Texas. And the husband came to me one day, and he said, Sister Wilkes, God told me to ask you this, and you would know the answer. I said, really? He told me that? I said, okay, if that's what he told you. And that kind of caught me off guard. He said that God told him to ask me this question, and I was going to be able to tell him. So he asked me the question. As soon as he asked the question, I'm telling you, the anointing fell on me, and I could feel it rumble out of my belly, able to get the answer from God concerning the matter. But he sought God first. And many a times we're not seeking God first. We're seeking man's opinion, man's ideology, what man got to say about a God matter. I'm going to say that again. We're seeking man's ideology and man's idea. What if Daniel had saw the Hebrew boys, or the Hebrew boys saw Daniel in the predicament? Daniel would have been ate up by the lions. Some Hebrew boys wasn't going to seek nobody about them being put in the fire. They believed God. They understood God. God has always told us that he would not leave himself without a witness. He is true to his word, line upon line, precept upon precept. And so when he was teaching this lesson here, about the reasons not to worry, we have to understand. Verse number 34, take therefore no thought for the morrow. For the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Check this out. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. So in other words, living one day at a time keeps us from being consumed with worry. Why am I trying to fix something for tomorrow when I can't even fix for something today? I'm going to say that again. I'm trying to fix tomorrow when I ain't even got today's agenda together. Does that make sense to us? I don't even know what is it tomorrow. I don't know what about the things. There's many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand. Ooh, thank you, Holy Ghost. But tomorrow, you know, Lord, we need to find that song right quick. Hallelujah. Tomorrow, there's some things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand. But I don't know who holds tomorrow. But I know the one who holds. I know the one who holds my hand. My God, hallelujah. I know God is with me right now. And that's all that matters. He's going to help me right today, right early in the morning. He got tomorrow. He knows the ending from the beginning. And since God knows the ending from the beginning, why do I need to stay up all night and long and worry? I had to learn a lesson about my old, especially with my oldest child. My oldest child left home at an early age, and he was wayward. He out there doing anything and everything big enough. I don't hear from him sometimes weeks and months. I ain't finna stress. Now, that's not that I don't love him. He know truth. He wants to be saved. He's a backslider. He knows that he's running from his calling. He knows all of that. He know his mama gonna always tell him, boy, when you gonna come back to the Lord? What is it you doing? You know you running. You know you got a calling. So I give him those friendly reminders. When I ain't heard from him in the whole bunch, I put it out there on Facebook, mama, Matthew, call your mama. But I'm not going to sit up there and worry like I used to, because I used to say, oh, if I hear a gunshot, oh, Lord, somebody might be trying to kill my child. And no. But then God reminded me. He said, did you not dedicate him back to me when you had him? Did you not, hallelujah, train him up in the way that he should go? It might not have been 100% perfect, but he got enough word inside of him to know, hallelujah, what is right and what is wrong. So what am I saying? We trying to hold on to our children because our children became our God. We worry about our husband going over here and our wives going over there because they done became our God. We worry about the job doing this and the job doing that because why? That done became our God. Worry. It is the killer of the soul because it keeps our mind preoccupied. Pastor Aaron, you started this. You started this. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You started this.
Amen.
So it's Pastor
yes,
Aaron's fault, y'all. Hallelujah.
It's an all-time word. As I was listening to you speak, you know, and you pretty much summed it up, but God is intentional. You know, what would be the purpose of him creating, you know, us and there not be, you know, anything set in stone for us? You know, God is not no deadbeat father we gotta run down or anything of the sort like that. As he ain't no wayward rich uncle, we gotta beg and plead for some money. if you down and out, it's simply, you know, that when God tells us to seek first his kingdom, you know, he's telling us to seek first our origination. You know, we look for people to complete us, and that's wrong. You know, the closer you get to God, the more complete you become. You're not going to be a perfect person. You know, there's only one Christ for that. But you become more wholesome. You know, you find yourself, and I'm a person, and I share this with people as many times as possible, even down to my own siblings, even down to my son. I said, you know, kids is being kids, and I explained to him and explained to children. I said, look at it, and I explained to people. I said, I'm going to have my peace. I'm a person. I'm a real stickler for peace. But like I was sharing, the closer you get to God, you know, the more you begin to understand who God is in your life, you become closer to peace, so there would be no room to worry. The love and care that God has for you, once you begin to bask in that, that chases all the worry out. The more you increase your faith, that chases the worry out. You know, so again, why worry? You know, and I'm going to tell you that, you know, I think I love about when I read certain passages, Jesus says, even down to the, Dr. Wilkes, you read it, he was saying, does worry add, I'm just paraphrasing, does it add even a cubit to your stature? So, you know, and I find scriptures like that funny, but it really makes you think, like, oh, yeah, I ain't growing no bigger or taller because of this thing. You know, we will be some walking giants, you know, if worry caused us to grow. But Jesus said it doesn't even add one cubit to your stature. So basically, he's calling out the unnecessary things. A lot of us, you know, I for myself have put myself in a lot of unnecessary situations, and it has not improved my situation. If anything, it made it worse. You know, so that thing I love about Jesus, he can say something, and you know, and it has this, and I'm not trying to water down what he said, but when you listen to it, you're like, man, that's you know, that's funny. You know, it's funny in the sense that, you know, Jesus said some stuff, you know, but it was never no hard down preaching. He wasn't hitting people with no Oxford type university style of teaching. He hit straight to the point. It's so simple that the word of God says even a fool cannot error. And I like to think that I know a little bit more than a fool would know. I would have a better understanding than the fool. You know, but Dr. Wilson, you was talking about, my mind went back. I said this earlier, that in all things, you know, I pray that you all share this, you know, amongst yourselves, you take this with you, that even if you decree to yourself every day that I'm alive, I'm well, and I'm accounted for. Because that's all God is asking. God is asking us to be accountable, you know, to give an account for ourselves and where we're at with him. You know, I'm glad that you did sum that up earlier too about that God will usher you to a spiritual leader for some form of counsel. So I'm glad you did sum that up. I do appreciate that. That is true. Now, if God leads you to somebody, that's one thing. But I remember this woman had pulled up on her. I think I did share this some time ago. But this lady had pulled up on me and my second order brother. She was asking, this was during the time after the transition of our administrator. And, you know, the woman being to ask some questions. And, you know, it's amazing. People already know who you are. They just, you know, ask. You know, people just you know, do what they do. And the woman goes on to say, well, give me a word. You know, like that. Like I, you know, not, and I'm not saying that I didn't have any word in me. But, you know, I somewhat laugh and I say to myself, I say, it don't work like that. I'm not no coin machine where you just pump and prime and you expect me.
They think they can put a selection, you know, make a selection, and push a button, and then bam, it's gonna pop out.
Right. And then, yeah, so some bubble gum of a word gonna pop out. You can chew on that later, no man. It don't work. I don't play them kind of games. I don't. You know. But she pretty much passed on. You know, not passed on, but she went on by the way. But I don't play that with folks. But yeah, like I said, one thing, if God leads you to somebody, because honestly, we should be so equipped that simply it comes natural. You know, I try to put my son, I say, son, do the right thing so much that it becomes your way of life. You're not going to be perfect, son, but I say keep doing the right thing. That's the place I aspire to be, that doing the right thing becomes natural. Because everything good ain't always good. You know what I'm saying? And I want to be mindful of how I'm saying that, meaning that you could mean to do something good, but it might really, you know, really cause harm. You know, and I'm trying to be careful how I'm saying that, because I don't want the youth. Also, we can't do good. No, you have to understand there's different levels of what good is. But there's doing something right. You know what I'm saying? There's a difference between doing something good and doing something right, because there's so many levels of what good is. You know, I'm going to share this. If it's not good in the eyes of the Lord, it ain't good at all.
Come on.
You can have good intentions. You can have good intentions, but even good, as people are limited. You know what I'm saying? God is intentional. God doesn't have to be good because he's already good. He's already great. He's already mighty. He doesn't have to try to be good. He's already God. God is good. He's almighty. He's intentional. He's sovereign. But when we as people try to take on good, it don't always work out in our favor. But when you're constantly doing something right, or you're making your efforts to do the right thing daily, it becomes your way of life. That begins to reflect in you. So the closer you get to God, these attributes begin to show in you so much it becomes natural. So that's why I say God wants us back in our natural state or in our original state. This is what I'm talking about. Become so close to the God, to be so close to his likeness. Don't get no God complex. You know what I'm saying? But become so adamant in seeking the kingdom first and seeking God's face first that it becomes your way of life. It really becomes how you live, you do, you walk. And people don't have to pump or pry you for a word. It's simply your presence alone will be enough. You know what I'm saying? And you know, still be careful of that, because, you know, you don't want people to worship you. And don't take in that mindset that you yourself are God. You're just of his likeness. You know, my thing is to aspire to be in the likeness of God. So I have to shoo that worry away. I have to stay so faith up. I'm not going to be perfect, but keep so much faith and trust in the intention of God. Have so much confidence in God that worry will no longer be a problem. You know what I'm saying? That, you know, people say 99 problems, man. Look, they ain't going to worry about that. You know, my thing, and I want to share this, we as believers, we do suffer through a lot. We don't always share what we're suffering through, cause whether it's internal or external. But even the word, you know, the word mentions in how many passages that we as believers, because we are in a Christ likeness, you know, to a degree, we suffer. We suffer with something to a degree, if not some things. But I want to encourage us all to not give up. You know, I remember on occasion that I felt myself falling and really not, and again, being in the place of uncertainty. And that's a place I made up my mind I no longer want to be. So how many days ago, last week, I really had to seek counsel with God, because I did not want to go back into that place. That's a cold, oh, Lord, I mean, it's a nasty place to be. Well, my mind, I felt like I was getting ready to fall back into it. And it wasn't unto death, but I knew I wasn't going to die in that place. But the idea of dying in that place was just unbearable for me. I said, I can't afford to fall back into that place after all this. I know God has brought me so far.
And Pastor Aaron,
yes, God has brought me so far. Yes, ma'am.
And there is some effects on worry. We know that is. Jesus is telling us to take no thought when he tells us this about those needs that God has promised to supply us. Worrying may, number one, damage our health. Two, cause the object of the worry to consume our thoughts. Three, it disrupts our productivity. Four, it has a negative effect the ways that other ways others treat, the way you treat others, okay? It negatively affects the way you treat others. Worry. I'll say it again. It negatively affects the way that we treat others. Number five, it reduces our ability to trust in God. So how many ill effects of worrying are you experiencing right now? It's a difference between worrying and genuine concern. Worrying immobilizes, but concern moves you with action. Worrying immobilizes, it stagnates you. But concern calls you to move forward. So we're going to pause for commercial, and then we're going to come back. Amen. And open up the floor for questions and comments.
Prophet LaRon Matthews and Restoration Foundation Prophetic International Ministries would like to thank you for your prayers and support. Prophet Matthews invites you to become a monthly partner to help reach souls of the nations all around the world. As a monthly partner with Prophet LaRon Matthews and Restoration Foundation, Prophetic International Ministries, you will be a vital part of the powerful end-time army that God is raising up to bring salvation, healing, and deliverance to the nations of this world. To help accomplish our God-ordained vision, you can sow your seed at www.werestoreyou.org. That's werestoretheletteru.org. Or call 708-377-6774. Restoration Foundation Prophetic International Ministries is a 501c3 tax-exempt ministry. God bless you.
Prophet LaRon Matthews Ministries welcomes you to the Friday Morning Word with Evangelist Carlina Wilkes of Indianapolis, Indiana. It is our prayer that together we can submit to His Word, submit to His call, and submit to His commission in order to stay on the path Jesus has paid for us. The first hour of the program is dedicated to the youth, so we welcome all youth and youth leaders. God bless you. Sit back and relax and enjoy the Friday Morning Word broadcast with Evangelist Carlina Wilkes.
All right, people of God, we are back in the hot topic this morning that Pastor Aaron has put on the table, coming from Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 34, where Jesus is teaching them about worrying. But the topic is, seek ye first the kingdom of God. We are talking about this seeking and how that we should be seeking him the proper way. There's, like you said, Pastor Aaron, there's there's different levels of good. So we want to make it sure a proper and effective way that we're doing it in the right manner. Did you have any more comments before we open up the floor, Pastor Aaron?
No, I'm not at this time. I'm getting ready to the head on to my assignment. I'm still going to be listening, though. But I do want to just say just before I leave that I truly enjoy, you know, every Friday morning we get on this line, and I thank God for this, just sharing with you, Dr. Wilkes. Because, you know, again, I even if I have to bring forth something that Friday or whatever the case may be, it's still an opportunity to learn something, you know. And so I just thank God for that. You know, I'm a person that I just love to learn something. You know, I believe in every time I go someplace that I at least get something out of my journey. And this has truly been a journey with you on these Friday mornings. I truly thank God for you. I thank God for that, for your wisdom. I thank God for your knowledge. And I pray that God increases you daily, you know, and even gives you your strength, because there's so much knowledge out there, so much to be said. But, you know, of course, we're doing a time frame, and, you know, you have to still have to be able to break stuff down for the understanding of others. Not that I'm, you know, slighting anybody of the understanding, but still, even though I myself, I appreciate when things are broken down to my understanding. Because I see there are levels that which I'm not quite yet, but I do thank God, you know, for breaking it down, because it makes it worth sticking around. You know what I'm saying? And mm-hmm. The thing is, we look at the world now, people are truly shying away from the church. People are shying away from Christianity because it has become such a spectacle now. And, you know, a lot of people like to put on the circus act. And I'm not throwing shade with anybody. All I'm saying is I'm asking God to keep me lifted, keep me away from that. You know, even Jesus, when he was sharing with the disciples, don't be like the scribes, don't be like the Pharisees sitting out there wailing, you know, all that, making all that noise and putting on the show for attention. I'm just paraphrasing. But, you know, and that's each time I read something that gives a warning and insight on how the church should be, how we as more so leaders should be, you know, even when I hear in the news that a leader got caught up in some type of mess, you know, I don't judge these people, but I say, God, you know what? That's terrible. But keep working on me, keep me from that. You know what I'm saying? Because I don't ever want to become so big or so complacent that I feel it's never going to be me. I'm just praying to God that don't let it be me. You know, just keep me lifted, because I don't want to ever be in a situation where I'll end up losing my God. I end up taking my God for granted. So I do want to share that, y'all. Y'all, please don't take God for granted. Just because you probably can't physically see him, we all know in our hearts that God is real. God is here on our behalf. God is intentional. God is always intentional. And there's nothing that God can't do. He can do all things. There are things we can do, but only through God is going to happen. You know, you if you're seeking God for, you know, a home, a car, a better job, you're seeking God, you know, I know we as people, we prioritize our jobs, we prioritize our children, you know, but God is telling us to seek him first, that he'll take care of everything from our spouse situation. If you're single and seeking God for a spouse, God is saying seek him first, because there should be nothing on this earth that should be making its way into your gates. That's your ear gate, your spirit, everything concerning your eye gate. Nothing should be making its way to you unless it's coming through God. That's where I'm at right now. I mean, I'm at a place right now. If I meet a woman, if God ain't the first thing on her mind, I ain't too much I can do with him. That's it. You know what I'm saying? I'm not trying to be prejudging. You ain't got to be super churched out. I'm just saying if you God got to be the priority first. You gotta come through God. That's all I'm saying. Because I dare not approach nobody without the same manner. You know, that's why, you know, the things I'm sharing is what I'm truly aspiring to be. That's why I desire for my way of life to be. If it's not through God, I just believe it ain't gonna work. I just believe it ain't gonna work. Even down this car I'm driving, I'm thanking God constantly. This car getting to and fro. I thank God for the story.
Yeah, well, you know, the small, the little things. But you know, and there is something about the saints of old. And I said, Lord, they may have not known. And I'm not saying this to be disrespectful to anybody, but there must have been something that got back into the time 400 and 500 years ago. Those that could read, those that could not read, regardless of their race. Somehow, some way, somebody had a whole faith. Look how that many of the people survived. And just believing that there was a God. They may not even know how to totally read the word of God. And how did they do stuff and they survive the tenacity, the strength that they had? Because why? They was not trusting in themselves. They believed that God was going to give them what it needed. Even when we look at the ground of truth, when you look at the different things of how various ones, I'm quite sure they might have been studying science or whatever, but I'm quite sure that they had some Benjamin Franklin and whoever else. I'm quite sure that they had some conversations with God, what they needed to do in order to do the things that they did. God had given them, and Pastor Aaron, it was to me, and I'm still floored about it to this very day. When God spoke to me and said, I have given you the gift of knowledge, I said, what? I'm serious. This is how my response was to God when he told me that. I'll never forget it. It was a couple of years ago. I was getting out of my vehicle in my driveway, and God spoke to me, and he said, I have given you the gift of knowledge. And I was shocked. And why would I have been shocked? But I was. And I said, okay. So my response was, well, if you've given me this, then you're going to have to teach me how to use what you have given me. Because I don't know what to do with it. And if I do what I want to do with it, I'm going to make a mess out of it. So I have to depend on God to handle the word. When I'm teaching, trust me, I had an encounter with something of the word. I have been digging. I have been, you know, going to this scripture and that scripture, and I'm one I like to look up words and see what this mean and that mean. And oh, okay, so God, what do you mean by this? It just takes me one word to get out of a passage, and I can do a whole study on one word. It'll take me away from the passage, but I'll make sure by the time I come back, I'm going to have a full understanding of what's going on. So nothing that I do on my own. I do nothing on my own. Because every time Carlina do something that Carlina does on her own, I'm coming, ooh, God, I'm a man of this. Can you help me? Mm-mm. I ain't got time for that. I'm getting too old. The season. My mom used to say, times is getting hard and money is getting scarce. Pretty soon, I got to leave this old place. That she used to tell us that all the time, and I never could understand what that means. But I understand it now. I don't have time to waste for nothing. And what I do have, I need to make sure that I am being a good steward over that at the time that it is given to me. This is all concerning in the lesson of words. So we're going to open up the floor for question and comment. If you are on the blog side, you can press 1 on the dial of your phone, or you can put a comment in the chat room. If you are on the conference line, you can star 6 your line. If you do not want to be audible, you can text 334-440-6152. That's 334-440-6152. And we thank God for Pastor Aaron this morning waking us up to the reference of champion, our first Friday sermon up there about seeking ye first the kingdom of God. Seeking ye first, why is this important? We talked about it this morning. So is there any administrator, anything on the blog side?
No, ma'am. All lines are clear at this time.
All right. We're going to move over to the conference line. And at this time, the conference line is now open. You can start fix your line. Make sure that your line is unmuted. If you have a comment this morning, hallelujah, concerning our subject matter, you can make your comment at this time. Is there anyone? Well, Pastor Aaron, I think you done hit a nerve. Hallelujah, glory to God. We thank God, hallelujah, for this. Again, we need to consider this. We need to really go back and ponder. Ponder the things that we have going over in our mind. If we going to worry, don't pray. If we going to pray, don't worry. God is better than our worries. We even sing when we was a little child, he has the whole world in his hand. He got the whole wide world in his hand. He got the me and you, brother. He got the little bitty baby. He got the whole world in his hand. Since God has the whole world in his hand, nothing catches him by surprise. So, If the telephone is waiting for a disconnect and we know that we didn't do anything to take our money and squander it on nails and hair and doing unnecessary shopping, and we have paid our bills and paid our tithes, then we should not have to worry about the phone going to be disconnected. Because God will supply that need. But if we squander, oh, Lord Jesus, if we squandering and we mishandling and mistreating and we're not doing the right things, being a good steward, I mean proper good steward, over that which God has given to us, and he's going to do it. I made a comment on yesterday that God told me I'm going to teach you how to do more than less. And this is the truth list of God. Because I've been in that state. Like Pastor Aaron, you were talking about that state of being and worried and stuff. I was stressing out. I was crying. Because, oh, God, they can't get no job. I'm a disabled veteran. I got a bachelor's and a master's degree. Now, this is me talking to God. And I'm like, oh, God, and nobody want to hire me. And then I can't get no job. And, oh, God, 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 God. And I'm just crying and crying and crying. Then when I was finished, then that's when he told me. He said, you done? You finish having your temper tantrum? It ain't about it. I would not have the wisdom and knowledge if I had it not been for him. I'm looking at all the credentials that I thought that made me qualified. But then God reminded me, he said, I have put you in jobs that you didn't qualify for. He have set me in some job positions, and I don't even know how it happened. I remember when I was working as a temp out at Eli Lilly. It's a pharma, Eli Lilly is one of the biggest pharmaceutical companies in the world. And I remember when I was working out there as a temp and doing timekeeping. And they was, I'm telling you, when he talked about guys supplies, and they started letting all the temps go. And they told us that they were going to let, and they said, Carlina, we're going to keep you as long as we can keep you. We're going to try to find something for you to do. So even they had a position, they wanted me to apply for the position. I didn't get the position, of course. But I'm telling you, he gave me favor with those men that I was working for. I did something that they, it was unusual to them. And all I did was take care of my job, do it properly, do it to the best, like it was, a, you know, the top corporation. But everybody, they kept me as long as they could. And even when I got ready to leave, my last day, oh, God, I could cry every time I think about it. My last day, I wasn't really so much worried about the next job. They gave me a card. They had collected an offering. And they knew I was still going to get paid, but they had collected up an offering. They said, here's a little something to help you along the way with groceries and something. It was a blessing. So when God be for you, who can be against you? Don't let W-O-R-R-Y rule your soul. Don't let it rule your mind. Consider this passage of scripture. Go back, meditate on it. Study it out. Matthew chapter number 6, verses 25 to 34. Look at the seven reasons that Jesus is saying, do not worry. Study out the passages. Run those references as it's there. You will have a better understanding by and by. Allow God to speak to you and I about how we should seek first the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is full of everything. There's nothing lacking in the kingdom. Since there is nothing lacking in the kingdom, the condition, I'm going to say this, hallelujah, glory to God. He said if we walk upright before him, he will withhold no good things from us. He also told us if we be willing and obedient, we will eat the good of the land. So if we are lining up to those conditions, we're willing, we're obedient, we're walking upright before him, going to do the miraculous. We can't change what happened yesterday. Yesterday, nothing can be fixed what happened. It was broke yesterday. It's got to stay broken yesterday. But today is a whole new day. You can only work with today for today. You can't even work with tomorrow because you don't even know what tomorrow is. You might have a plan on wearing a red sock tomorrow. You might get up in the morning, and you might have a red sock put out. And God might say, I want you to wear a green sock. Did you still go back and get the red sock when he told you to put green on? So this is why we need to just do what God says. If we do it like he says and spell it out and plan, I guarantee you we will have less problems. We will have less stress. We will have less of all the other situations because why we trust in him. So last call, any comments from anyone on the blog side or good morning?
Good morning. God bless you, Evangelist Wilson, Pastor Aaron. I just wanted to say your testimony that you gave pertaining to your son, that really blessed me years ago. And I was newly saved, and my sons, you know, they were, you know, living with their, at that particular time, they were with their dad. And, you know, they were out of school, but, you know, I just knew that wasn't the right place for them to be. But I'm not going to get into that part of the testimony. I just wanted to say this. I would be so concerned and so worried about them to the point to where as I would be up at night, I would be praying and I would be crying and and just really, you know, sometimes, you know, I would get in my car and I would drive and I would just pray and apply the blood of Jesus, would go to the area and just begin to pray in that area over that house and all of the above. And this one particular night, I'm sitting there on the couch, and I'm crying, and I'm so concerned because we, as mothers, we know, you know, the danger zones that our children might be stepping over into, whatever the situation may be. But I sat there, and I began to ask God this. I said, Lord, and this is, oh, God, I had to have been saved, I don't know, maybe a couple years, a few years or so, if not a little bit longer. But I began to ask God this. I said, Lord, you got to fix me. Fix me in this situation. You got to fix me, Lord, because if you don't fix me, see, because Almighty God is working. He's going to save. He's going to deliver. Mm-hmm. He's going to fix them. He's going to fix that situation. Mm-hmm. But if I'm worrying about it, that's going to take my joy. That's going to take my peace. That's going to take my focus. That's going to take my not seeking him first in his kingdom. And that's going to get me so caught up and so overwhelmed, and that's going to take me down. Now, I beat him, went down, and he beat him, saved them. They're in their rightful place, and I won't be in my rightful place. So I asked the Most High God. I said, Lord God, you fix me. Fix me in this situation. So no matter what the situations or tests and trials that have come in my life, I always ask the Most High God, Lord, you fix me. And when I began to pray that prayer to the Most High, he began to fix Donna. I was able to go to sleep that night. I was able to rest. I had peace. I had joy. My focus was back because he fixed me in the midst of the situation. He fixed me in the midst of the storm. He fixed me in the midst of the trial. So I thank Almighty God for your testimony. And because that brought that back to my remembrance. And I said, Lord God, do we ever ask the Lord to fix us in the midst of a situation? We're looking at everything and everybody else, but are we looking at ourselves? Fix me, Father. Fix me so that I can go through this still with my mind, my joy, my peace, my seeking you so that I don't get out of that place of your will for my life in the midst of the storm. So thank you so very much. God bless you all.
And you know what, Sister Donna, when we ask God to fix us, we can't have no laundry list of how we want it to be fixed.
Yes, ma'am.
Let me say that. People say, well, God said, ask and it shall be given, and, you know, make our petition known unto God. He did say that. But when he said that, he's talking about doing it in the matter of faith. Not our will, Lord, but let thine will be done.
Yes, ma'am.
Because he knows, it tells us he knows the way that we take. He knows this. He knows what direction that we need to go. Remember, he's the author, the creator of the whole universe. So why do we need to give him a list like, okay, God, I'm just using this for an example. God, I need you to bless me with a Mercedes with green tires and furry seats and, you know, we just, okay, first of all, we're going vain because we done start adding all our desires. I mean, truly, I feel that I deserve, I can get whatever I want. I'm serving him. I'm this, that, and other. Look at our attitude. This is about what I'm trying to get to. The point is, when we take our petitions before God, do we have the right attitude? Are we giving him the rightful respect
in our presentation to seeking ye first the kingdom of God? Are we being respectful to him as the Almighty God? Remember, his ways is not like our ways. Oh, yes, he will give us the desires of our hearts. But I believe, like you said, Sister Donna, if we just say, Lord, it would be nice if I had this, this, and this, but I want you to give me what you want me to have. That way I know, hallelujah, if he gives me what he wants me to have, I might not have no bill attached to it. I might not have, you know, all the car breaking down or this, that, and the other. Because I have to watch out for the eye. I'm just talking about Carlina. I am not talking about y'all. I'm talking about Carlina. So I had to do learn, as Jesus said, nevertheless, not my will, Lord, let thine will be done. Fix me, as you said, Sister Donna. I had to, remember I told you I was kicking and crying, oh, God, I can't find no job. As soon as the Lord worked me over, as soon as I really gave it to him, I'm telling you, you talking about things begin to turn around. Doors begin to open. He fit the needs that I had because my house was going in foreclosure. I didn't have no money. The state ended up paying over $10,000 of back mortgage. I never had to pay a dime of it back. That's the blessings of the Lord maketh rich and addeth no sorrow. He doesn't make a struggle for me to do some things when I do it his way. Because why? I want him to fix me. So there we have it. This is about the new me today. This is going to be a new me today, Jesus. Here I am. Shape me, mold me. You're the potter. I'm the clay. I got this lump over here. Oh, it's out of place. You say, what? It's bitterness over here? Okay, work it out, Lord. Move me. Get me ready. Get me ready. I want to be ready. I want to be a fine vessel for you. Get me ready. I can't worry about you, Sister Donna. I can't worry about administrator. I got to worry about Carlina making it in. So is there any more comments this morning? Again, we thank the Aaron for bringing this topic to us about seeking first the kingdom of God. I noticed that it's been quiet lately. That don't bother me no more. Because I'm telling you, so Donna, I'll be like, okay, that means my time is up. I don't need to do blog talk no more on Fridays. I don't play it out. But I can't worry about who ain't saying nothing and who is saying something. As long as I do what God assigned me to do, that's what's important. All hearts and minds cleared. No one has a question or comment. We thank, most certainly thank God for another year, amen, that he has brought us to. I pray that when we go throughout this year, we don't have that same aptitude and attitude just because we're saved, just because we're living for Christ, that, you know, we are entitled. We got to ask God to work on us. Make sure that we don't have little flaws here and there popping up. The things that God wants us to desire for us, that he wants us to lay aside every weight and every sin that is so easily to beset us. And he wants us, hallelujah, to seek ye first
the kingdom of God. And do it in such a manner, hallelujah, and we don't have to pick it up no more. I'm bringing something to him. I said, okay, Lord, I don't have such and such, but I know you have somebody that has it. I'm trusting him, hallelujah, even in a business transaction. God, you the one led me to this. You gave me the vision. You're going to give me the provision. Because this is your project. This is not mine. I'm just being the overseer or the leader that is carrying it out. And God is going to do it. And when he does it, oh, my goodness, it's going to be so big. Carlina can't take no credit at all. So, Father, we thank you on this morning, oh God. We thank you for all your people, young, middle-aged, and senior alike. We thank you for the people that's listening in all over the world, whether they be far or near. Well, God, I pray that, hallelujah, something has been said, that we will learn to seek ye first the kingdom of God. Lord, hallelujah, not our ways, but do it your way. And God, we will watch, hallelujah, you begin to change things on our behalf. We pray, oh God, hallelujah, for our attitude. We pray, oh God, anything that we have caused us to be hindered by the move of God, we ask for forgiveness right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, help us to be good stewards. Help us to be better believers, oh God. And to walk, oh God, upon line, and precept upon precept. And Father, even for us, those that may feel that, okay, I have arrived, this don't apply to me. Lord God, help us, oh God, hallelujah, just to continuously, oh God, to stay humble before your feet. We give you all praise, glory, and honor. And Father, as they depart from this place, but not from your presence, Lord God, let the word continue to, oh God, marinate in their hearts. Lord God, and we thank you and we glorify you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, administrator, it's now in your hands.
Like never before, we're waging war.
Anoint my head,
oh, yeah.
Anoint my feet,
celebrate
it down. Raining down here on the battleground.
For your glory,
we're taking territory, fighting unseen enemies.
Like never before,
we're waging war.
I'm tired of principalities messing with me.
Waging war.
Tired of the devil stealing from me.
Waging war.
I promise you.
and may your battles end the way they should, and may your bad days prove that God is good, and may your whole life prove that God is good. See, may your struggles keep you near the cross, and may your troubles show that you need God, and may your battle in the way they should, and may your
thank y'all so much for coming out. May your best.